A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Welcome. Today, in our reading, Jesus tells his disciples that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be put to death. The only silver lining to this very dark cloud is that after 3 days, Jesus will rise from the dead. To add to the suffering, rejection, and death that Jesus has predicted will happen to him, Peter makes it worse by choosing to rebuke Jesus. Peter must have thought, what is Jesus talking about? Who can kill Jesus, this man of great power? In Peter's mind, Jesus should not have these doubts. But Jesus looks at the disciples before giving Peter a severe reprimand. Now it is Peter's turn to be chastised. And what a dressing down Peter gets from Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan," he is told. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Jesus used a very similar phrase when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Jesus tells the devil in the book of Matthew, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Why does Jesus use such a phrase on his beloved disciple? What has Peter done to deserve such a rebuke? To understand why Peter has been rebuked by Jesus, we have to go back just a few verses to Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 30. In these verses, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" They respond that some say Elijah, others John the Baptist, and some call him one of the prophets. But it is Peter that calls him the Messiah. And this is a significant and pivotal point in the Gospel of Mark because Jesus is acknowledged as, for the first time, as the promised Messiah. It should come as no surprise that Peter has called Jesus the Messiah. Ever since Jesus first called his disciples, they have personally witnessed Jesus drive out impure spirits, heal people with fever, sickness, disease, and demon possession. And Jesus has healed a man with leprosy, and all this has happened in just the first chapter. Peter and the other disciples have witnessed Jesus preach parables of great wisdom to the crowds that gathered to hear his teaching, calmed the storm when the disciples were afraid of drowning, restored a demon-possessed man, raised a dead girl to life, and healed a sick woman. Jesus has fed many thousands, walked on water, and given sight to a blind man. After such demonstration of Christ's power, we can see why Peter has chosen to call him the Messiah. But Peter has misunderstood what it means to be Messiah, God's anointed one. Peter's own assumptions and thoughts have limited Jesus to his flawed definition of what Jesus could do for him and for all Jewish people. Has Peter imagined Jesus as commander of the armies, defeating the Romans who sat as an occupying force in their lands? Peter, like many, can only picture Christ in great triumph and victory. The Messiah Peter wanted could never be killed. Peter's understanding of what it means to be the Messiah would reduce Jesus to just another ruler of men, and deny him his status as the Son of Man. The Son of Man is a position with great authority given from God. But Peter's version of the Messiah took authority from man and not from God. This is why Jesus rebuked Peter so severely. Yes, Jesus has supernatural powers that the disciples had witnessed many times over. But Jesus would not use his powers for self-promotion or to fulfill Peter's expectations. Jesus had not come to win the approval of men. He had not come to entertain the crowds or lead armies into battle. Jesus had supernatural powers which he would use only to serve his Father's will and for no other purpose. Remember in the book of Matthew, when Jesus rebuked the devil, he said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus was not prepared to serve Peter's will over his Father's will. Christ instructs those who desire to become his disciples. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Denying self means to live a life where we do not place ourselves at the centre. Taking up one's cross implies a willingness to suffer for Christ's sake. Those who follow Jesus reject a life of comfort and self-indulgence. Only those who deny themselves and follow Jesus will be granted an eternal life. If any of us lack understanding as to how we can deny self and follow Jesus, then we should listen to the response that Jesus gave to the teacher who asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" In Mark 12, Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. If we live by these commandments, we will learn to deny self." The way of the cross, also called the theology of the cross, meaning to deny oneself, does not mean that we should live a life of forced humility. We are not asked to follow Jesus by daily degrading ourselves. To deny oneself means that we are called to use our talents and our gifts to the best of our ability in service of God and neighbour. But Christ does not seek to limit our lives as we deny self. In fact, the very opposite is promised. Those who follow Christ are promised a life overflowing with blessings. In John 10:10, Jesus declares that he has come so that we may have life and have it to the full. To those outside the church, a life of self-denial is a life lost. But Christ reminds us what becomes of those who reject him for the comforts of this world. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? A life saved may well be a life full of many pleasures, riches and rewards, but however abundant these rewards are, every one of them will be lost when their life is ended. But a life lived in denial of self, rejecting selfish ambitions, for a life lived in loving service to God and neighbour, for all who choose this life, for them awaits the promise of an eternal reward, a promise that will never end. An eternal reward is the promise to live with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in his perfect kingdom for all eternity. To receive this blessing, we are instructed to lose our life, deny oneself, love God, and to love our neighbour as ourself. But God does not force us to deny self. We are offered a choice. Those who lose their life for Christ and the gospel will save it. They will be rewarded with eternal life. But those who seek to save their life, to deny Christ, will in turn be denied eternal life. Before we finish, I want to remind you that denying self is not a once-in-a-lifetime act. To deny oneself is an act that must be repeated again and again and again. Those who seek to be disciples of Christ must be prepared to question their own actions and to hold themselves always accountable to Christ. We must seek to learn to worship the Lord our God and to serve him only. Those who deny self and persevere to the end without giving up will be eternally rewarded. Let us seek to love the Lord our God with everything that we have to offer. Amen.